Welcome back to the Drafting Table Podcast, hosted by Dominion Due Diligence Group. It's me, Daniel Walton, and I have Stephen Evanko back today. And normally we have kind of broad conversations covering an important topic where we touch base on all of it, but today we want to be really specific about what we're talking about, and that's the annual compliance steps. If you have a property that's been certified with a green building certification in association with HUD's Green MIP Reduction Program, there's time for action, and we wanted to walk you through some of those steps. So I've got Stephen here to talk to us a little bit about, you know, what is required from HUD and kind of what's the purpose of this program.
Sure. So with the Green MIP program, one of the three key criteria that all properties need to adhere to in order to qualify was that third one was to commit to do an annual energy benchmark, what we call a statement of energy performance or SEP for the property. And they have to maintain a score of 75 or higher on that scale from basically 1 to 100 to be able to say that they're in good standing and in compliance with the requirements of the Green MIP program. Now, one important point is, and I think it gets a little confusing, is the property does not need to recertify as an Energy Star existing building certification, which would require a inspection and application to the EPA. However, some properties might opt to do that just for marketing reasons, to be able to promote and say, hey, we've been Energy Star certified this many years going on.
Right. So it's really just your making sure that everything you package for your application with your SEP is checking out. It's still standing true. You're still scoring a 75 or above. And as I mentioned, the main reason we're talking about this today is because it is time to get started. There are some deadlines approaching that as fast as this year's moved are going to be here before we know it. And, you know, this also, if you get started now, it'll give you some buffer in case something does come up. You know, nothing's perfect out there, but we try to make it as easy as possible. Stephen, you know, can you talk to us a little bit more about the time frame for when these need to be submitted and really what our time frame looks like to get them processed?
Sure. And that's interesting because it actually changed. The beginning of this year, there was a mortgagee letter 2020-01, which was published in January. And HUD actually laid out the timeline for when these would be due. And what that requires is that the compliance SEP is going to be due annually by March 31st. And it's going to be based on energy data from the prior calendar year. So one of the other things that's really important that HUD specified is that you have to have a qualified energy professional, as defined by the MAP guide, sign that application. And a qualified energy professional could be the BPI, MFBA certification, a licensed engineer, et cetera. The other thing is that when you submit this, there's an appropriate HUD office that you're supposed to send this SEP into, and you need to note the FHA ID, a number on that as well.
Okay. And the qualified energy professional, is that more than likely, you know, in the case where we would have produced the original SEP, that's going to be?
We have a robust team of BPI, MFBA certified qualified energy professionals, as well as a number of other energy certifications. So if we did the energy benchmark for the property or the energy, the SETI work, then we absolutely can do it.
We've got you covered. Yep. Perfect. So can you give an example of one that maybe closed in the last year or two, what that time frame looks like? Because, you know, things are sneaking up on some of these developers and lenders.
Sure. And this gets confusing, too, because the thing you have to keep in mind is, right, we're looking back a whole 12 months to be able to get this. And so if you had a property that, and HUD spelled this out well in the mortgagee letter, if you had a property that closed on or after, let's say, April 1st of 2019, then that first SEP would not be due until March 31st of 2021. So they're recognizing that, you know, a big part of the 2019 year, you weren't even in the program. So now if you close before that, then you should be able to get 12 months of data and be able to produce that SEP by March 31st this year.
Okay. That's interesting and good to have some perspective on the time frame for real world closings and time frames to get things processed. You know, when you work with D3G, we're here from you from start to finish. That's one of our big, you know, sales pushes. It's what makes us unique. That's where our value comes from. You know, I think you've worked on over 300 energy certifications. You just certified your 108th property through Energy Star. We want to make sure the next step in this process goes well and goes smooth for you. But the process itself, as you mentioned, has changed. Some of the rules have changed over the last few years. Can you just walk us through the process so that we have a better understanding of what we're going to be dealing with?
Sure. So what I would tell lenders and property owners that are in this program is, number one, pull up the data plan that you had as part of your application, because if whoever did that for you did it well, it'll lay out the process and the contacts and how to proceed very nicely. But obviously we're in Q4 and it's going to be the end of Q1 in 2021 before we know it. So I would encourage lenders and owners to start engaging us soon. The offer I'll make is that, you know, if an owner or property manager comes to us, we will talk them through what that process should be, make sure they understand that process, and can be prepared as we go into 2021 to be able to get the data that they need from their utility. And hopefully that should avoid, you know, some fire drills as they get closer to the end of the first quarter. Now, one thing from a timing perspective that people need to understand is, you know, you might think, well, okay, if I need to do this, let me go get the data now. Well, 2020 is not actually done yet. So you're going to have to wait to get this 12 months of data. And in most cases, if you're getting that data from the utility, you're probably not going to be able to start to get it until the end of January for the prior year, because there's usually a lag with how utilities report this. However, if you have data loggers, in that case, you basically have a live feed of how much energy your property is using, in which case, frankly, on January 1st, 2021, you'd be able to get a full calendar year of the prior year. But I would encourage owners to be prepared with their requests to utilities and get in line, because I don't know if utilities know what's coming at them. There's certainly a lot of green MIPs deals out there, and there's going to be a lot of requests for this data. And so, you know, just like when we did the original SEP, we're always going to need 12 months of energy data, all energy used on site. We're also going to want to know the monthly occupancy so we can see how that's affecting the score. You know, and if the property can't get 100% data for various reasons, there is a protocol that allows us to do extrapolation off of a sample. And that's usually, again, described in your data plan. We can extrapolate off a representative of 25% of the tenants. But I always encourage owners, you know, don't just get 25%, get as much as you can. Because if I have to extrapolate off 25% and you happen to pull the worst 25% of your property, your score is not going to look good.
Right.
The other thing is, typically when we do these, obviously we need plans to be able to make sure that we properly look at the gross floor area and the dimensions of the property. Now, if I've worked on that property, D3G's worked on that property for you already, you don't need to resupply that plan. We already know everything about your property and, you know, can basically put it together. And the other thing I will add to that is, you know, on all these green MIP deals, I feel like we've been through it with the owners, with the lenders. You know, if we perform that initial SEP, that Energy Star inspection, that NGBS green inspection or SETI, we're going to take care of you as an owner. And we're going to make sure that if you get us that data, and we'll help you with that by March 1st of 2021, we will make sure that you get that SEP done and in time, and then make sure that you're in compliance with the program.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And you mentioned the data plan. I personally see a lot of lenders have put those together themselves. They really see it as a checkbox item, which is a little bit unfortunate, because, I mean, who would have predicted when these were submitted the year ahead? You may have properties that don't have full occupancy due to COVID. You have properties that have been in flux with tenants due to COVID. Having those steps lined up, you know, laid out and lined up for you to be able to get data or alternative methods of data is really going to be important this year, especially as HUD is just starting to process these. You're talking about a very small window. If you can't get your data from the utility provider until maybe the end of January, it's a very short crunch period for us or whoever else would be doing that annual compliance SEP. It's important to know that when you work with us from the start, we're here with you through the entire process and try to make it as easy as possible for you. But you mentioned something that I think is going to spark some interest for a lot of the properties that just barely snuck in. But what if you score below a 75 on your annual compliance SEP?
Yeah, so HUD laid this out in the original Green MIP guidance to say that if the score does fall below a 75, then you're going to need to get an energy audit done to figure out why the score is less. That could be tenant related. It could be, because let's face it. I mean, one of the things that sometimes people forget is, you know, when we had the COVID lockdown this year, that forced a lot of people to stay home, mm-hmm. right?
Learning from home. Video games from home.
So there is more energy use in the home. Certainly a lot less energy use in the office setting, but more in the home. So that could be part of what could push a score down a little bit. But you do the energy audit, you try to figure out why the score is less and what you can do to improve it. And that's something that D3G can do and help properties through as well.
Yeah, I think we're going to see some of those pop up that just based on tenant behavior, things have changed. What if you're late to provide that score? Because, you know, we did talk about some of the challenges with getting data. Not everyone has data loggers. Not every utility is as fast to respond. What happens if you just can't get it together?
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of people have forgotten that this is actually a requirement of the program too. So it is important, and HUD's taking it seriously. They have come out and said in this mortgagee letter that they can implement REACT protocols used by the Office of Multifamily Housing for unacceptable property standards. And so those would include enforcement actions such as maybe jeopardizing future business with HUD, or sort of blocking them from the potential to use the green MIP rate on future transactions. And just given how valuable that green MIP rate is, you know, that's a big risk to take to not get one of these steps done and turned in on time.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's coming at a time where we're awaiting the HUD map guide release. That's going to change things. The CNAE tool version 3.0 has finally gone live. That's changing things. There's just a lot of changes going on right now in the HUD world. This is something that could easily fall off your radar, given the volume of, you know, deals that the lenders are processing. And, you know, that's why we're here today, to remind them that there is a process and that we're here to help you. You know, the cost for something like this, this is an annual compliance step, you know, the emphasis on the word annual. This is something that's ongoing. You know, we're not trying to make this, you know, add a financial burden. So we're trying to keep this around, you know, $1,000 for a property that we've worked on before that we're experienced with. If it's a property that you certify with someone else, but you'd like to get our opinion or to do your annual compliance steps for you, I encourage you to reach out to me and I'll see what I can do to help you out to keep things kind of moving forward for you this year and next. But it's crazy to think that we're here talking about annual compliance steps, because I remember when the whole program in the department was really just an idea. So it's cool to see that properties have been certified or built and then certified, and now they're coming up with those annual compliance steps.
Yeah, and we've done quite a few actually compliance steps for some properties that were already really kind of rolling with this already, and seeing good scores come back so far. So encouraged by what we've seen on the projects that we've been involved in thus far. And look forward to helping all of our other clients out to comply with the requirements.
Yeah, that sounds great. Steven, thanks for your time. Lenders, developers, if you have any questions at all about anything energy related, let us know. We are more than happy to help you out. We'll catch you on the next one.